But I'm going to do what I feel uncomfortable doing. I'm going to step outside the sermon, just give you a thought that is upon my heart. And there ain't nobody here but us know how, so it won't make a lot of difference as far as this world's concerned, but I just want to keep in melody with what's in my heart as far as heaven is concerned. Very seldom go to church with an absolute. Every now and then I'll get into a church where they like to put the verses up while you're preaching. They'll say, "What you preaching?" I said, "I don't know until I get up." And that's more times than not, believe it or not. What I like to do is just leave it open. I can't play an instrument. I bought a guitar and it's for sale. But if I could, I'd play the violin, and what I do is I'll just go in and try to get in tune with heaven while I'm sitting there. And I like to go with what heaven's. I like to go where the birth is, if you know what I mean. I believe every real worship experience is the birth experience. And you got to go where the baby is. And wherever that is, that's where God's going to move. And a lot of times we'll go into services and we've already got in mind where we're going and the direction. And the baby may cry out and we'll dismiss him and go on through the meeting and never will get to the place where God's producing life. And I think that's one of the negatives of religion, even among those who claim to be fundamental, is we've followed everybody else's routine and we feel like that's how it has to be done, and we miss the baby. So if there's a baby in this, I don't want to miss it. So let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. And I want to read several verses that goes along with my thought. And may the Holy Ghost use this thought in our hearts. The singing seemed to lend itself to it, and this is what my heart was on anyway. And I'll give you a little phrase that has been within my heart, and it is this truth, that Jesus was not just enough when it came to the payment for our sin. Heaven wasn't on pins and needles, putting our sins on one side of the scale and His blood on the other, just hoping, finally, something would work. He wasn't just enough. He was more than enough. Matter of fact, everything God does is always, if He's in it, it'll be more than enough. And we're going to see indicated in this scripture that there's so many things that man has offered to God, but none of it was enough. Brought great despair and wonder if anything would ever please. Could God be pleased? But thank God when His Son came, He was not just another man. He was not just another offering. He was not just another sacrifice. But thank God He was more than enough. And these verses that we read to you are going to indicate that overwhelming truth that when you got Jesus, you got not just enough. You're not just going to slide by. You got more than enough. And no wonder our souls verify that. When we cry out in the song, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." What we're saying is He's more than enough. I'm not sweating it. I'm not hoping maybe He'll just get me by. But thank God He's more than enough. Let's look at some of these verses, and again, uh, I I don't want to apologize, but I got no. I'm usually a, you know, 1, 2, 3, and we'll. But I don't have that this morning. Don't want it. So I hope you can bear with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. Or maybe let's go back to chapter number 7, verse 23. Said, and truly, they were truly many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Verse 27, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did, how many times? When he offered up himself. 10 million sacrifices, and it never was enough. But he did it once, and it was more than enough.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Woo! I love it, don't you?
Amen.
Verse number 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Then they shall not teach every man his neighbor, for every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Look in verse number 11 of chapter number 9. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unto God without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? Sounds like Romans 5. Romans 5. Much more, much more, much more, exceeding abundantly. I'm like Paul, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Verse 26 of chapter 9, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm emphasizing this thought that he's not only enough, but he's more than enough. Now let's go to chapter 10 and begin reading in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. I tell you, the weight of sin in the mind and the heart of a sinner cannot be dispelled and disposed of by changing the name of that sin or passing a law that legalizes that sin. Because sin is between a man and his God. And if these offerings can't do it, can't even clear the conscience, can't even lay down at night and get a good night's rest because of the weight of sin. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Wasn't enough. Or I said, but that was the best lamb I had. It's the best lamb I ever had. I put him aside. I fed him. We inspected him. He's as spotless could be. And I offered him up, and I'll tell you, before I got to the house, I just could not clear my conscience of my sin. It wasn't enough. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It was not possible. It was impossible. Religion on any level will fall short of clearing man of his debt of sin to God Almighty. I don't care what the deed is. Coming to church ain't going to take care of the sin problem. Giving a little money to the church ain't going to take care of the sin problem. Faithfully coming to church. Somebody said, well, they came all the way. I'd never missed a Sunday for 60 years. But if that's all they got, they're miserable creatures. Especially when they stand before God Almighty. Could not. Verse 5, for when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had, look at this, no pleasure. With all of the efforts of religion, God could not even be pleased. He never could look at it and say, well, that's enough. Isn't that amazing? Looks like after enough of those sacrifices, he'd say, well, you've done, that's enough. That's enough. I think the sacrifices now outweigh the amount of, that's enough. Verse 7, then said I, because it's not enough. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's all about me anyway. It's written of me. To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified or made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hallelujah. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. God said, that's more than enough. That's more than enough. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has so set me to where God is not only pleased with him, but he's pleased with me. Which has nothing to do with my sacrifice nor my offerings of this flesh, but of his eternal sacrifice, so that I am perfect. You're looking at perfection in the work of Christ in the sight of God. He can never be anything but pleased. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he said before, this is a covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these sins is, there is no more offering for sin. I like verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty, hallelujah, to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He wasn't just enough. He was more than enough. And the thing that I like about it, the old black preacher, as only a black preacher could preach it, he talked about that dove that came down on Christ in the River Jordan. He said the reason why it was that way, and I like the humor of it, he said, when that dove left the ark, he said to that dove, he said, you just fly until you hear my voice of being well pleased, and then you light right there. And he said the old dove took off. And he said he flew right over top of Noah, come to Abraham and flew over top of him. Come to David and flew over top of him. Flew over top of the great prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, when they went down in the Jordan. Even when John the Baptist went down there, you would have thought, now God's going to say something. He said nothing. But when his son stepped down into that water, he said, this is my beloved son. Same thing he said on the mountain. In whom I am pleased? No. In whom I am well pleased. He didn't just please his father. He well pleased his father. He didn't come just to give us life. He came to give us life more abundant. And when where sin did abound, thank God his grace did what? Much more abound. And what offerings and priests and sacrifices and tabernacles and temples could never do, he did once and for all forever. How much more? How much more? I wish I could just plant that in your heart like it is mine. Because my heart is saying, hallelujah, I'm glad the debt is more than taken care of. It's been paid in full. Because in Him doth all the fullness dwell. I'm talking about more than enough. The prodigal son realized that when he got off in the far country and he got to coming to himself. And he said, you know, at my father's house, my servants have bread enough and to spare. I thought about Elijah when the angel fed him there those two times, and that one experience in the Bible said he arose and went on the strength of that for 40 days and 40 nights. If God's into anything, it'll be more than enough. And honey, when it comes to salvation, when He sent His Son into this world, He wasn't guessing about that. He knew that His Son could take care of every sin everywhere and every heart that would confess and trust Him. He would be more than enough. So much so that that transgressor, that sinner, that wicked individual of the lowest of the low could be so forgiven and so the debt taken care of and paid for and more enough that he could actually walk right into the presence of the God of heaven in the holiest of holies with complete confidence. Knowing that God's not going to have somebody check him at the door and say, whoa, wait a minute. I know you, and I got to look at your sin debt in comparison to what Christ paid, and it's running pretty close. When He saved me, He gave me that spirit of reception and of liberty in the very presence of God so that I felt at ease walking into His presence and kneeling and calling Him my Father. Because I knew the old account was settled. It was more than settled. That little word offering has the meaning within it of tender. Tender, which means a offering for something that you owe. A paying, of course, in this case, the sin debt. You know what paying your bills is all about, don't you? I often say when I go pay my bill, I'll joke. If I'm going to pay for the water bill or something, we usually just take it down and hand it to them, the water bill for in town. And I'll joke when I say, well, I've come to get on speaking terms. Ain't that right? Because the thing about it is, if you owe somebody and you got no intention of paying, you ain't got much to say to them. And you certainly don't want to hear what they've got to say to you. You're going to slip and slide around and kind of avoid them and dodge them because you ain't on speaking terms. You know how that feels. When, before you ever got saved, honey, the last person I ever wanted to run into was God. I wasn't on speaking terms. And I certainly didn't want to hear what He had to say to me. I was in trouble. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. When that debt is paid, it's almost like you're on speaking terms again. You can come up and say, how you doing, Jeremy? Huh? It'd be like me owing him $1,000 and couldn't pay it, and he knew I couldn't pay it, and I didn't want to see him because I couldn't pay it. And then Jason running into him and finding out I owed him $1,000 and paid him $1,500. And then the next time I run into him, he's running all over top of me, loving on me and everything else. I said, Brother Jerry, what? Oh, he said, you don't owe me nothing. It's more than paid for. Yes, it's more than paid for. I don't want to use this little phrase because I'm not sure of it, but I'll just throw it out. I don't know, but I know he's more than enough. And I'm not suggesting that he wasted anything in his payment, but I'm going to tell you something. In God's sight, he overpaid because it was more than enough to take care of it all. putting me on speaking terms with the God of the universe. That now I could enter into His presence because the tender, the payment is more than taken care of forever. Woo! Once, and for all. He entered into that holy place, made that payment. And aren't you glad that He did? Verse number 19, now having therefore boldness, nothing that man could do would ever equal enough. I hope you're not coming to church this morning trying to please God. I hope you're not reading your Bible trying to earn some points with God. I hope you're not praying thinking it's all going to add up and get you in. I hope you realize that all of that will happen if you ever realize that all of that is taken care of and you'll want to do that. Because I know the bill is paid, I like to go into His Word and have Him speak to me. And because I know the old account is settled, I like to go down in prayer and I like to talk to Him. And because I know that forever it is settled, I like to think about the day when He's coming or the day that I'm going to enter into the presence of the God of the universe. Because His Son came and settled it all. Forever paid. Forever paid. I like to think of it this way. You know, if you got an account around here, one of these country stores. Used to, they, you know, you just put up your little account. They'd keep a tab on you because nobody had a lot of money. And I remember my dad had one. Well, I had one at Joe Howell's there in the country. You know, you just keep it up. You'll get what you need during the week or for the month, and then you go at the end of the month, and you get on speaking terms again. But if you got one of those, maybe you owe somebody a little money for something you've had done, well, go get your best way to pay for that. Go get you a bunch of $3 bills printed up. Just print you some $3 bills up, bunch of them. And take one of those $3 bills and take her in there and lay her down on the counter and say, I want to pay my bill. And start laying them $3 bills down. I'm going to tell you, he ain't going to take the first one. And you might have 10,000 of them, and he still won't take them because they won't pay the bill. And here's the thing of every sacrifice and every offering and every bit of the blood that was shed, not a bit of it would take care of the bill. Not any of the bill. None of it. None of it. Boy, if you could take all the human efforts of all that Old Testament and all of that blood and all of those sacrifices and yet realize that God Almighty could not be pleased. But His Son came one time and sacrificed Himself on the cross one time, shed His blood one time, and God Almighty was well pleased. More than enough. But I'm here to tell you that this thing of Christ and His sacrifice and His payment of debt is more than enough. It is more than enough for the debt of my sin. But thank God it is more than enough in every other practical area of my life. That's what the book of Romans is all about, to let you know that this thing of Christ and the power of His resurrection is not only more than enough for your sin debt, but thank God it's more than enough for your life in Christ in this day and in this age. Today! He's more than enough for you today! What He did 2,000 years ago saved today for you. The Bible said today. is the day of salvation. Now, what we're wanting to do is save all our tomorrows. Don't worry about your tomorrows. He'll save them when you get there. But what he's wanting to do is save your today. He wants you to know that he's not only enough to save your yesterday and to save you from your sins, but he is enough to save you from yourself and to save you in this day. He's more than enough. And what good is a Christ and his sacrifice that's only good enough for yesterday, but we can't claim it for today? As God's people, we need a Christ that's more than enough. This world needs to see a Christ that's more than enough for now. He's more than enough for anything and everything for this day. He's not just enough. You say, preacher, how can I know that what I've got is real? I'm going to tell you how I know. I was saved during the time of revival. 68, 69, and 70, we had genuine Holy Ghost revival. I've not seen it since. And I'm going to tell you something. As a young teenage boy getting saved, and then getting filled with the Holy Ghost, in that 2 or 3 year span, that's all it lasted, 2 or 3 year span, as far as that working of revival. And how mighty it was. I can remember we would go on the street and preach. It'd be 40 or 50 of us young men preaching on the street. Conviction. I was back up in that area, Oberlin, Ohio, just 2 or 3 years ago. I run into a fellow who was in the midst of that revival. I found out the Lord moved several places during those same years. Brother Tom Hayes was experiencing it, Brother Rudy Smith, and I don't know what the Lord was doing, but he did what he does, and it was more than enough. And I asked him, I said, do you keep account of those? Do you run into any of those people who were there during that time, 68, 69, 70? He said, yes, sir, preacher, I do. He said, I've kept account from day one. And he said, to this day, he said, today, there's 40, I have a count of 40 preachers and missionaries and evangelists on the field that came out of that 2 year revival. Now, I don't know what all God's accomplishing through all of them. All I can testify is my own heart and my life. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost can do that will be more than enough. And here's how you can know that what you got is real, is that it'll not only work yesterday, thank God it'll work today, and it'll work tomorrow, it'll keep on working. I was in a meeting here a while back, and there's a whole lot of emotion in it. A lot of young people there and a lot of movement. And I'm always reluctant about that. Of course, I think there's enough old wet blankets laying around to put out much wildfire, so I don't worry too much, especially in churches. They'll put all that out. But I said to them, I said, you say, preacher, did I get anything this week? You did, if it works tomorrow. But honey, if what you've got is no count today, I wouldn't trust it, especially when I get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you that 40 here, I never having heard the gospel, not, and I preached enough here for you to know all of that. I didn't have a spot of religion. Hallelujah. Not a spot. I hadn't been messed with. Not at all. But I heard the gospel on 3 occasions and then walking down a little road by myself, The Holy Ghost showed up. Amen. And took what was in my head and brought down to my heart, and I felt as though if I took another step, I'd step off into hell. He told me he loved me, he died for me, he wanted to save me, and that's all I ever understood about it. And I said, yes, Lord, I want that. And honey, I went to bed that night, and I didn't know what it was all about, but I felt like 10,000 worlds had been lifted off a 14-year-old boy's heart. You say, well, preacher, did it work? Is it real? 46 years. They've been some bumps. They've been some dark times. They've been some hard roads. They've been some ups and downs. But I'm here to tell you, without me working it, it has worked me. Amen. It has worked not from the outside in, but from the inside out. All of this other stuff in the Old Testament, all these sacrifices and all this, this is an outside-in work. Somebody on the outside trying to get in. Religion's on the outside trying to get in. But honey, Jesus gets on the inside and comes out. Works just the opposite. Inside out. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad I've got Him in me. And what a difference He made in my life. I heard a preacher talking about being out west one time. And he said, I saw out in the field what looked like out there in the middle of nowhere, a guy on the side of the road pumping water. And he said, the closer I got, he said, I was curious, all by himself out there, pumping water. And he said, I got up close, and he said, I realized it wasn't a real man. They'd cut out a plyboard figure of a man, put hinges in the arm, and said, but he still looked like he was pumping the water. And then I got up there, and he said, I read on the sign there, it was an artesian well. He said, I realized the man wasn't pumping the water. The water was pumping the man. And what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago was enough to pump me all the way into glory. I've not understood it all, not been able to explain it all, and ain't trying to. I just know He's enough, more than enough. You know, I think that's really the simplicity of the gospel. We just try to twist and turn and put so much into it and explain a whole lot and theorize and everything. Well, let me just make it simple. If you got Him, you got more than enough. I mean, you got more than enough in salvation. You got more than enough in the forgiveness of sin. You got more than enough in sanctification and holiness. You got more. It's all, and it's in the seed. When He saved you, He put it in there in Christ. And thank God in that seed form, it'll everything you ever planted, you planted in a seed form. But thank God it's the fullness of life is in there. It's all in here. Everything that Christ is. Right here. Everything. And I'm glad to report to you that I found Him to be more than enough. And thank God if He can get me 46 years, I ain't even worried about tomorrow. Somebody said, but what about Washington? What about the president? I hope you ain't worried about all that. So what about the election? What about how America's turning and she's headed off into hell quick? And I'm just not in gloom and doom. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that I believe that before this thing ends, as far as the Lord coming, that the church is going to go through some persecution. Now, I don't think she's in the place to go to heaven right now because she ain't nobody crying. He didn't go get the children of Israel out of Egypt till he heard them cry. He ain't coming after me and you as long as we've got it made. When he comes after his people, they'll be crying. And they'll want him to come. He ain't going to take them children of Israel into a promised land that they ain't interested in. You say, well, ain't you an American? Well, that's down the line. I'm a child of God first. Born again into the family of God. And then you get down there, I'm an American, I'm proud, I'm glad I am. But hey, this God ain't over interested in America. You think he cares more about America than he does Russia? Or China? You think if God was here, he'd become an American citizen? Huh? We just somehow think that, you know, America is a gift to God and ain't nothing ever going to happen here. No, honey, he ain't interested in improving society. He's interested in getting his children ready to get out of here. And whatever it takes, that's what he's going to do. And we're headed toward some dark days. Only God Almighty knows what those dark days are. But somebody said, "Oh, but I'm worried about my children. How in the world are they going to..." I'm going to tell you something. That's why they need Christ. Because the only answer for the dark days is the same answer for every day, and that is Christ. Amen. And I promise you, I don't care what hell breaks loose in this old world, as it did in the dark days of Noah, as it did in the dark days of Moses, as it did all the way by even the dark days of Christ as he hung on the cross, I'm going to tell you, Christ will be more than enough. Matter of fact, I'm a little interested in what's going to happen, because always in dark times it seems like the light shines the brightest, and that's where you find out where the great saints are. That's where Moses come out of. That's where Noah come out of. That's where Christ showed up. And who knows who's in our midst that God's going to raise up in dark days. But it's simply because Christ is more than enough. And it seems as though that in all of those descriptions of grace and mercy and salvation, there's always those modifiers that speak of how more and abundant and exceeding. And I want to rest in the fact today, totally confident that if I draw my last breath in this day, I'll enter in to his presence, knowing that it's more than enough, taken care of. Did I tell you what my thought was? Now, I mean, I realize this ain't no orthodox sermon. But I don't think y'all get more than many of those around here no way, so it don't make much difference. Oh, I got a Bible. You know, it's handy to have a Bible when you're preaching. Jesus paid it. To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. I think it's four or five times I read down through there. Once, once, once. And I know we don't sing no songs about that 10 billion other times. And you know why? They didn't do nothing. But we always sing about that one sacrifice, confident that it is forever. This is my beloved son. He could have said, well, pleased, or pleased. But he didn't. He said, in whom I am well pleased. He said, I'm satisfied and I'm forever satisfied. As a matter of fact, you can sit down now. And that word perfect there is a first cousin to the word finished, that to telestai on the cross that Jesus cried out and said, it is finished. God is satisfied. And aren't you glad you can go into those prisons and into those jails and take them the word that no matter what their sin debt is, Christ paid it all. And God is well pleased.